Blog Talk Radio. dear beloved. This is Sister Paul just fitting in for Sister Leora. She won't be here tonight as well. And I just want to give God thanks for the opportunity that we can join together. The Lord said in his word, we are two or three gathered together doing the things concerning his will. He is in the midst. So, my dear, we will offer a word of prayer. Welcome again. Father, we just want to thank you. We praise you. We bring glory to your wonderful name. We thank you as brothers and sisters that we can sit at your feast this evening. We ask you, Lord, to pour your sweet Holy Spirit upon us and allow your sons and your daughter that they will join and also share and give praises and to bring honor to you. We just want to thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome again, my dear beloved. This is Sister Powell, and we are going to start with an opening song. And if my brothers and sisters is here, we can start. Psalm 598, Watch Ye Saints. We are preparing for the final crisis. We know that the second coming of Jesus is near, so we have to keep watching and waiting. So I can sing, start, my dear beloved, if you want, you can join me in singing our opening song. Our scripture passage is taken from First Thessalonians 5. You can read some verses for us.
Amen. Amen. First Thessalonians chapter 5.
Yes, 5:1. We can do is read to 1, and most of you can read to maybe 10.
Okay. First Thessalonians chapter 5.
Yeah, verse 1 to 10. Right. You do 5, and
verse
1. I do 5.
Okay. Times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night, nor of darkness.
Therefore,
amen,
let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Here ends the reading, my dear beloved. Jesus is telling us what we must do. Watch and be ready, because we do not know the time and the hour when he will appear. So we're going to pray, and we are going to ask our dear beloved brother, Sister Carlo, to pray. 518, if you could lead us in prayer. Thank you. Welcome again.
Yeah. Sister Carlo, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Yes, let me get to a quiet spot here so we can pray, okay? Just take me just 3 more seconds here, and then we can open with prayer. Lord, we just come before you tonight, Lord, humbly asking for your Holy Spirit to fall upon us as we fellowship together on this prayer line, Lord. Father, may our thoughts, may our words bring honor and glory to your name, Lord. Father, tonight we ask for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. We are unholy beings, Lord, and only by the blood of Jesus, only by his righteous white robe can we be righteous in your sight, O Father. And so, Lord, we are claiming the blood of Jesus as our only hope. And Lord, what a hope that is. We have everything when we have that, Lord. So, Father, tonight, may you guide us into your truth. May you bless us with words from on high. May the words of our mouth and meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeeming. Be with each person coming on tonight, Lord. We just ask for a special blessing upon them. Sister Leola, who is traveling with Brother Ray and moving things tonight, Lord, we pray for their safety and that they would get moved quickly. Lord, we're thankful that Sister Powell can join us. Please keep her phone from cutting out all the time, Lord. We know that you can do that. You can do all things, Lord, and we're trusting in you. We're claiming your promises so that you will keep this line strong tonight, dear Father. Guide us and keep us now, Lord. We pray all these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Rick, and also Sister Carlo for singing, and Evan singing the song, and Brother Rick reading the scripture. And my dear beloved, just by the few opening remarks, I am so grateful, thankful that I can be here to help my dear sister, because we all work together. And I can just say God is good. He's so great. Sometimes I have difficulty, but tonight it was just straight. So I just want to thank God for that. And this evening, my dear beloved, I sat down out on the veranda, and I was just, thinking, just giving thanks and reflecting the goodness of Christ. And I came with this First Thessalonians 5, and I was reading it, and it stated preparation for Christ's second coming. As we know, we are in the last days, and we are watching and we are waiting, and we are trying our best to follow what the Lord said we must do. But preparation is now, and we cannot wait. And as I was reading, they say, you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, as we just read, right? In the night. And while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly. And it brought in a woman with labor pain. And a woman, we are here on the line as a woman, we know what labor pain is. But when that pain is over, you know, and we saw that bunch of joy that God has given unto us, we rejoice, right? Okay, so that we do not want to wait until the last moment before we get ready. Because if the thief will come in the night to break our house, if we didn't know that he was coming 12 o'clock, I know we would be there to watch and to prepare for him, but we do not know. So as the Lord did not give us no time frame, you know, because all time is given to him, you know, all we have to do is to prepare and watch and be ready for that day. And by watching and be ready for that day, we can't do it alone. We have to depend upon God, right? So let us not be like the others out there who are asleep. For let us be awake so that we can go out, run in our community, and to teach and to educate, and to teach those out there who do not know, and to point them to Jesus Christ. So our prayer today, my dear beloved, asking the Lord to continue to bless us, and as he gave us the light, you know, we have to all share it. And my dear beloved, always put some nice coat on the dashboard here for us and the sister Carla, and we just want to thank her for it, because this is last day's event. This is the last message we have to carry out Revelation, and it is not a message that brings fear. It's a message to allow us to be ready, that when the Lord comes, whether we are asleep or we are awake, that we will see him and that we can live with him. So I just read a little, and then, my dear beloved, the line will be open for my dear beloved to share and declare their praise report, the testimony in a song, and that we all can share together. Thank you again for joining and welcome. It's stated here, Christ's commission. After the resurrection of Christ, before he ascended to heaven, he gave to his disciples and through them to all who should believe on his name to the end of time. This commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God has claimed upon the service of all, men and women, youth and children, and the earlier they are led out of and away from themselves and taught to engage in unselfish labor for others, the nearer will they come to fulfill his holy commission. There is a course of life for themselves, without thought or reference to the glory of God, and yet they profess to be his servant, following his direction when they are in fact only serving themselves. Some are ever ready to make excuses for not giving more attention to matter proclaiming to the cause of God. So let us not be like that. Let us give attention attention and be obedient with his command. Yes, my dear beloved, now is the time I'm going to open. Thank you again for joining and welcome to all. I'm going to open the first line, 423-635. Your line is open. Welcome. All right, 423 maybe. Can you check your phone if it is on mute? All right, I will come back to that line. 985-232, your line is open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. Just want to thank God for all of the blessings and all the keeping of us. We just want to thank him for just waking us up and watching over us last night and the rest of the night. Thank you, Sister Powell, for opening my line. I want to read a devotion prayer. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to yourself, Lord. We confess that the drawing of sin still tempts us. We want to be faithful to you. So as we come closer, please pull us in. Cleanse our mind of our selfish desires and impure pursuits so that we may desire you more and not be prone to wander from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We thank you for the devotion prayer. What a lovely prayer. God don't do wrong. He know our thoughts. He know our ways. So he give it to us just like it goes. And we thank him for it because we want him to cleanse. We want him to help us so that we can become closer to him. Like Sister Power was saying just now, we want to do that, and we got to pray to the Lord so we can do what we need to do to help make everything success for the Lord. And God's fair, my husband and I will be in Baton Rouge with y'all, so we're going to have to connect with Sister Leola, see what we have to do. Because we're going to be on the line. We're going to be off the line, but we're going to be fellowshipping so we can tell somebody what the Lord say. Amen. And see if anybody else wants to go and see what the Lord has in store for them. So we thank God for that because that's going to be a wonderful day. It's going to be a blessful day. Amen. And I just want to ask for prayer for Advent Light, for our upcoming event, for the blessing of the event and the prayer warriors and everybody take place. And we want to pray for all our brothers and sisters that's not on the line, those sick, those in nursing homes, those in hospitals, under the bridge or wherever. We just want to pray for all those that's helping with this event because I know it's a lot of work. So we just want to thank God for them and just keep each and every one of us in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Brother John.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, so I'd like to say hello to Brother John. From Houma, Louisiana. And, it is something it's nice to say for her, just listen to her. And it is nice to getting everything together. You know, the fellowship and everything is wonderful. And I just want to say that, I'm steady just being thankful for everything, you know, day to day, just being thankful and feeling blessed and everything. And no matter what I go through, I praise him and keep the Lord in mind and just thank him for his wonderful gift of life. and being able to share what we learn with others and guide them. So God bless. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Mr. Brenda, you know the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Who is the Lord who has made ruler over his household to give them meat in his season? Brother and Sister John, I'm telling you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, God is really using you to be a faithful servant. And we just want to thank you, Advent Light, where do you know for what God has been doing through you. And you know what? Keep growing and shining. And that light will shine wherever you go. And people will see Christ and only Christ within you. Continue to do what God wants you to do, my dear beloved. God bless. And thank you again for sharing and welcome. I'm going to open this line now. 98. Okay. I'll find out if she's there. 423-635. Your line is open. Your line is open. Okay. I will come back. Okay. 518-744, and now is the time. I think you want to share things and the goodness that God has done for you, even though you're here already, right? That's here praying for us. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Paula, for opening the line. It's good to hear Sister Carla earlier, and then Brother John, Sister Brenda. I always appreciate Sister Brenda's readings. She always reads her prayers, and that's some very good thoughts there, so I just thank her for that. Yes, God is good. He has been good to me. Every day he is good. And I just want to thank him, want to praise him for his goodness. And, you know, our Sabbath school lessons this quarter, Mr. Paul, have been on Revelation. He has been really good. They've been bringing up some good thoughts, and I just wanted to share a quick thought from our Sabbath school lesson this morning. Get to my scripture here, Revelation 14, verse 7. And I'm just turning there right now. Revelation 14, verse 7. Here, singing with a loud voice. This is actually the first angel. Sing with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Now, as I was reading that, oftentimes we hear people say, well, why should we fear God? And if you look in the scriptures, that word fear has a different meaning than the word that we think of. We don't want to be afraid of God. Unless we are doing wrong, then we have something to fear. But that fear that we're talking about here is respect, realizing who we are worshiping, realizing who God really is. He is not a man. He is our creator. He is our sustainer. He is our redeemer. He is all in all, and he will bring us into his kingdom if we are faithful. And another quick verse here. We had it talks about fear, and that is Ecclesiastes. I'm turning there right now. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Solomon is talking here, and he said, "Let us fear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So now we can see that we have a reason to fear God, to respect him, to honor him, because he knows everything that we are doing, and someday everything that we have done, if it is good, people will see that. If it is bad, people will see that. So when we fear God, when we respect Him, when we honor Him, He gives us the power to do what is right, the good things. And when our name comes up on Judgment Day, He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If we haven't been faithful, if we have turned away from Him, if we have not respected Him and honored Him, our evil deeds will be shown to all, and we will have a place in the lake of fire, which none of us here want that. That's why we're on this line, because we want to go on to the heavenly kingdom, to see our Lord and Savior, to be in eternity with Him. And a quick thought here, Sister Powell, I was listening to a gentleman there this past week, and he was talking about time, and he says he asks people all the time, what is time? How do you define time? And it's a very hard thing to define. But if you look in the scriptures, it talks about before time began, God created this world. Okay, when God created this world, there was no such thing as time. It was we were living in eternity. When sin came into this world, all of a sudden God had to create time. He had to insert time into eternity, and He set a date on that. He said, "Okay, I am going to give this so much time to play out, to run its course. And when it's done, when it's over with, then we will go back into eternity, and there will be no more time again." And I am so looking forward to not having to watch the clock, not having a certain amount of time that we have to speak or to work or to do anything. There will be no worries about time. And that is just a blessing. That is a promise to us that someday we will have all the time we want to do, all that God has called us to do, even in the heavenly kingdom. He is calling us to do things there. So we're not going to be idle. We're not going to be sitting around and floating around on a cloud. We're going to have things to do. But our greatest thing that we can do, I think, is to be praising our Lord and Savior Jesus, who saved us from time. He saved us from ourselves, saved us from sin. So just want to leave that thought with my brothers and sisters, and just know that I am praying for you. I just want to, Sister Tamiko is listening, I wanted to let her know that I've been praying especially for her and her sons and her husband, her daughter, her family, for God to give her all that she needs in this life. And Sister Tamiko is a dear friend. She always is sending encouraging texts to many of us, I'm sure. She does to me all the time, and that's just a blessing, and I praise the Lord for her and for each person on this prayer line. Every time someone shares, it builds each one of us up. So continue to share, brothers and sisters. It's an awesome thing. Thank you, Sister Paula, for opening my way.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for sharing timely. It's really, inspiring when you can really come on this line, to read the scripture and to explain, Revelation. Revelation is a lot of people stated that is afraid of Revelation, but God gave us Revelation as the last book, and for the last time, actually like kings in our life, that we have to really present it to Him so that we will be ready. Is that ready? This is for us to be ready, my dear. So I just want to thank you for sharing. We're not supposed to be fearful. We're supposed to be obedient, and we do know what Jesus, when He talks about obedience, and Brother Rick talk about time. We may say we have time today, time what we can do today. The Lord wants us to do it, because none of us know the minute and the hour, the time that He will appear. And as we read a while ago, Thessalonians, that, He will be coming like a thief in the night, but we all have to be ready, watchful, and just ready. And we cannot be ready by ourselves. So we just want to thank you, Brother Rick, and we sure will be praying for you and your family members. We have a few others before we go into to prayer, and I would ask you, Brother Rick, if you can prepare to do the our prayer for us, interceding prayer, and then after prayer, we will have our speaker, then Brother Oni Akin James, who will be coming on to present the word. So we have a few more hands here that we're going to open, right? 7505, welcome. Your line is open. Can you tell your name?
Amen. Hello, Sister Power. Hello, my beloved brothers and sisters. How we do, beloved? God is good. He's worthy to be praised, my beloved. God is awesome. He is coming very soon, my brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters on this prayer line. Get ready. Get ready because my brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming very soon, my brothers and sisters. My brothers and sisters, do not be stressed on this prayer line. This prayer line, my brothers and sisters, is to pray. It's to pray. It's to shout to the Lord in prayer because God is good. God is a marvelous God. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And Sister Power, I feel like to do a word of prayer, Sister Power, after Brother Rick, but I want to sing a song, Sister Power. I don't know, can I sing a song, Sister Power, but I have a prayer request.
Yes, Brother Eli, you can, I will allow you to sing this, but just share your praise report, Lord. Right?
Amen.
You will be singing it. Okay.
Sister Power, for the speaker, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Sister Power, my prayer request tonight is to lift up my mother in prayer, my Sister Power. Sister Power, my brothers and sisters on this prayer line, lift up my mom in prayer. Do not forget to lift up Sister Tamigo in prayer. And Sister Power, I want to say to Sister Tamigo, my dear Sister Tamigo, be strong, my beloved. God is able. God is a mighty God, Sister Tamigo. Sister Tamiko, my dear sister, you will see that brother Tony's cousin again. You will see her again, Sister Tamiko. Do not be sad on this prayer line. Be strong, my dear Sister Tamiko, because Sister Tamiko, Jesus is coming very soon, my dear Sister Tamiko, my dear sister Tamiko, the Lord is my walk and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid, Sister Tamiko? You should read Psalm 27.
Okay, thank you, Brother Eli, for sharing. Sister Tamiko, you know, the way Brother Eli is encouraging you, and we are also encouraging you. God is good. God is so great. He is worthy to be praised. 423-635, your line is open. 423-635, your line is open. All right, my dear beloved. This is the moment.
I'm sorry, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm at a I just came from a funeral and I'm on at the thing after the funeral, but I just wanted to come and encourage my brothers and sisters. That's okay. I did press one, but right now I'm eating. But I just want to encourage my brothers and sisters. We know not the hour of the Lord coming, so we should always be prepared. So I just thank you again for opening up my mind, Sister Powell. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. Yes, Sister Carla is at a funeral, maybe, but she's encouraging us that we do not know the time when the Lord will be appearing. But we must be faithful and we must be ready. As this evening, our scripture reading was from Thessalonians 5, and it was preparation for Christ's second coming, right? And we read that. We read that he will be coming like a thief in the night. but all we have to do as brother and faithful servant is to be ready. And tonight we are asking, we are leaving everything in the hands of God. This is the time and the moment where he said we are two or three gathered together doing the things concerning his will, he's in the midst. And we know the Holy Spirit is with us now. We heard the requests. We heard the testimony. And my dear beloved, I will just share my little testimony and then we will go into prayer. My testimony of praise, my dear beloved. I just want to give God thanks and praise for what he has been doing. I am not saying I haven't seen that the enemy is trying his best to, you know, creep in. But I can say God is good. And if we just keep our eyes upon him, God me here, both God through you guys, every one of my brothers and sisters here in Jamaica to do a work. And the work that he has sending me here to do as a missionary work, I did not know that, you know what, Almighty and evil, the strength that God would really give me, the strength that I could follow him and to do what he wants me to do. So there are some projects that I came into. The first project, it has been doing good so far, not completed, but I have to say God uses me and the team, you know, his followers, and it has been successful. And I just want to thank you guys, every one of Advent Light, for prayer and their support. Project two, my dear, from ground, bulldozer came and cleared the land. Sand was dropped. Block was dropped, stone was dropped, steel was dropped. The team came. They dig that foundation from scratch with their hand and pickaxe and their cutlass and stones, and they dig out that clay foundation and they cast it. And I witnessed, my dear beloved, those blocks went up so fast that one room have already block up near just for the top for them to do and to put on calcium. That's one room, one big room, very big room. And they said they will be doing it room by room. God has done it. I have seen, my dear beloved, the feeding program for the children, both the church and the community. And it has been growing. I saw actually a congregation every Wednesday where we can sit down, study the word, prayer as devotion before we started lunch. I saw lunch going out to various communities, sick and shut in, and who taking them to the different districts. I saw that happen. I saw the children came in. Coming from school, they came in, they get their meal. They are so happy. You look at their face. It's so shocking. I saw that happen. I saw evangelism going out. I saw baptism. I saw baby blessing. I saw all these things, the love of Christ. And I have to say, I saw clothes giving away and people asking, you know, for help. You know, because there is very many help, but what God has blessed, we have been sharing it out. And I just give God thanks. Yesterday is Friday evening. I was there that the last markup material was supposed to drop because we were run out of material. And we got a load of sun again. We got some steel. We got stone. And we have the black supposed to be dropped so that they can continue to start where they left off. My dear beloved, I went down to count the steel, and while I was counting the steel, one the guy who drove the truck said to me, "Grandma, be careful coming down because I'm about where the project is, so I have to walk on the street, but the street is busy." He said, "Be careful, Grandma. I don't want anything to It just said I will be careful by the grace of God. And I went down and I was counting the steel, you know, 20, 30 length of steel. And, you know, they are long steel, so they are in bulk. So I counted. You know what the jack get? I said, Grandma, you was a teacher? Wow, you can check. I said, yes, my dear beloved, you know, I love math from growing up as a child, and I still in that where I can do a little that God have blessed me with. So I just want to give God thanks for all that, those wonderful blessings that he have blessed me, my dear. And all these things come to you guys, so I want you to just pat yourself and say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. So that's my praise report. We will be traveling to Guysville this week coming for the last little trip for myself here. You know, we will be going just to do a little teaching and a little finishing touch. God is good. God is great. So we will be going into prayer now, and I'm going to open the line for my dear beloved Elder Rick that he can lead us in prayer. Wow, what I did here. Elder Rick, your line is open. I did something here. If I've done it. Yeah, Brother Elder Rick. Okay.
Oh.
518-744.
Yes,
can you lead us in prayer? All these prayer requests, can you pray for us? Pray for Brother Eli, Mother Project, and also your brothers and sisters of church, and Brother Sister Brenda, Sister Leola, who is traveling, moving this evening, you know, traveling mercies for them. Sister Lee, Sister Carla is at a funeral. Pray for comfort for those individuals. Sister Stephanie going back to school tomorrow. Pray for her that God will pour his blessing upon the classroom and the children. Thank you, Brother Rick. God bless.
Amen. Okay. Let us bow our heads, brothers and sisters. Lord, we just take a moment to come before you again, Lord. We do not come to you often enough. So, Lord, at this moment, we bow our heads, Lord. We close our eyes. We picture you as a holy God, Lord. And, Father, we have a hard time picturing you because we haven't seen you. But, Lord, you said, when you come, we will see you as you are. So, Lord, we are looking forward to that day. So, Lord, tonight, as we have met together on this prayer line, we have heard the praises. We have heard the prayer requests, Lord, and you have heard each one. You are working already on them, Lord. There's nothing that we can tell you that you don't know. So, Lord, you just want us to bring them to you so we can remember that you are the one who answers our prayers, who heals our diseases, Lord, who gives us power and strength to pick us up when we are down, Lord. Father, tonight, we are just praising you for being our God. There is so much that you're doing for us that we can't even name it. It is, we don't even realize what you're doing. But Lord, continue to show us those things little by little so that so our faith will continue to grow, Lord. We need that. We need that faith as only you can give me. Father, tonight I look at Sister Powell as she is in Jamaica, Lord, working on the projects that are going on there in the house, and feeding the children, Lord, and all the work that she is doing there, Lord. We thank you that you have granted her hope and strength to do that, Lord. Continue to be with her, bless her with health, with strength, with knowledge, with wisdom, Lord, with peace, with perseverance, Lord, as she is working hard there, Lord, and all the people that are with her, working alongside her, Lord, please be with each one of them, Lord. Grant them your spirit, Lord, that your name would be lifted high, and that people would see that and desire to know you as their God also, Lord. Father, we're just grateful that our dear sister was on the line tonight hosting, Lord. It is a blessing to hear her, and continue to be with her. Father, we think of Sister Leola, Brother Ray, as they're moving, Lord. Please give them strength, give them safety in traveling, Lord. Give them all that they need. Be with Brother Jarvis, Lord, and Sister Nicole. Sister Lola was telling me today that Sister Nicole is having trouble in the classroom because of all the things in the public schools going on. Lord, we just ask that you would give her patience, that you give her perseverance and peace and wisdom and knowledge as she is teaching those young minds, Lord. Even though she can't say all the things she would like to say at times, Lord, you are working through her. Continue to work through her and bless her, Lord. And Lord, we just lift up Jarvis to you as Sister Leola has brought him to you so often. And Lord, we just want to lift him up to you again, Lord, that you would touch his mind, Lord, that you would take away his desire for the worldly things, Lord, the things that are keeping him in a place that is not good, Lord. Let him come back to you, Lord. Just cause him to see your goodness to him, Lord, and keeping us alive each day, Lord, is because of your goodness. And I pray that Brother Jarvis would see that and desire to come back to you, Lord. We are waiting for that day, Lord. What a glorious day that would be. Father, we lift up Brother Eli as he is always calling in and praising you and thanking you and giving you glory for all things, Lord. We pray for his mom. We pray for his friends, Lord, Johari Duvall. And, Lord, I don't remember the rest of them, but you know who Brother Eli is praying for and those that he is trying to influence, Lord. Just please give him a double portion of your spirit as he is out there doing your work, Lord God. Father, Sister Carla, who is at this funeral, Lord, we're grateful that we got to hear from Sister Carla. We pray for her children, Nicholas and Amanda, Lord, and Sister Carla and her ministry, Lord. Please be with her, and Lord, this funeral that she's at, Lord. I don't know who it's for, but Lord, we just pray for comfort for those who have lost a loved one, Lord. It's a sad thing. We were not created to die, Lord. We were created to live forever, and sin messed that up. But Lord, you are going to change that soon. You are going to bring those who have died in you back to life, Lord, and they will live forever with you, Father. So, Lord, we are looking forward to that day. Please comfort those folks tonight, Father. Father, we just are grateful that Brother John, Sister Brenda called in. They're always calling in and praising you and, Lord, worshiping you. Please be with them and their family, Lord, their children, their grandchildren, those people around them that they are witnessing to also, Father. We just pray for them, and we're just grateful that we can hear them and they are doing well. Father, continue to be with them and guide them and bless them. Father, we think of Sister Stephanie who will be starting school tomorrow, Lord. That's a big undertaking, Lord, and she will need your strength. She will need your wisdom, Lord, your knowledge. And Lord, I pray that you would keep her close, that you would give her all those things that her heart desires as she is seeking you, dear Lord. Be with her family also, Lord. We just pray for them. Lord God, we didn't hear Sister Tomiko tonight, but Lord, I just lift her up to you. Her family, her son in Taiwan, and Tony, her daughter, her husband, Lord, Sister Tomiko herself, dear Lord. We just pray for her. Give her strength, Lord. She has always been a blessing to many of us, Lord, lifting us up in prayer and sending encouraging texts. And the Lord, we just do pray that you would give her heart's desire, Lord, in you. That whatever she desires in your will, Lord, that you will make that happen. I pray that she would persevere. She has trials, Lord, as the rest of us do, Lord, but you know what they are, and you will give her the strength to defeat them, Lord. So we just pray for her and her family, Lord, to keep them, that you would save them, dear Lord. And Father, my family, I want to lift them up to you. My children, my grandchildren, Lord, mom and dad, each one of them, Lord, and
especially Ashley, Lord. We haven't heard much from her lately. Lord, she is okay at the moment, and we're grateful for that. Please continue to convict her of your goodness to her, Lord. It's only because of your goodness that she is here, that she is doing well, Lord. So please convict her of that, Lord, and cause her to turn to you, Lord, with all of her heart. Father, each one of us, we just need our hearts to be fully in, fully towards you. We want that, Lord, we desire that. Lord, our hearts are desperately wicked. They continue to turn away from you, Lord. And Father, we just long for that day when that will be over. And that rebellion will be wiped away. So, Lord God, we just pray for that. You're soon coming. Father, Brother Akeem, we want to lift him up to you. Lord, if he is your faithful servant, preaching at his church, Lord, taking care of his flock there, and also witnessing, bringing us these studies in the scriptures, Lord, increasing our knowledge of coming events, but also of the goodness to each one of us. Please be with him, Lord. We want to also lift up Brother O'Neill. We haven't heard from him in a bit. And Lord, please be with Brother O'Neill, his family, all the folks that he is out there spreading the good news to also, Lord, please convict their hearts. And Lord, Brother Yudi, we lift him up to you. I just talked to him today. He's doing well, Lord. Please continue to guide and keep him, Lord, and Sister Melissa and their friends. Lord, I also lift up Brother Bernard. We haven't heard from you in a bit. Lord, please be with him. Brother Mozart, Lord, there are so many, Lord. I think my mind is weak, Lord, and I don't remember all the names, Lord, but you do. So guide us. Guide them, Lord. Keep them, Lord. May you bring them back to the line, Lord, to their testimony, so that we can hear that and be encouraged as you're trying to encourage each other, Lord. Guide us now, Lord. Just touch our hearts with your spirit, that we would want to receive your truth tonight that you want us to hear, so that we can take that out and spread that to others. Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, for the prayer line for each person on it. We just pray for those who are listening maybe on the computer or other means, just lift each one up to you. We thank you now, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Rick?
Yes.
Are you finished?
Hello. Yes.
Oh, yeah. You are there, Tim?
Yes, I am finished, sister.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Rick. You know, Brother Rick has prayed for everyone, and we are going to open the line now. Yeah, for 40. Welcome. I think it's Brother Akeem, right? 301-40. Your line is open. 301-640. Can you take your phone? 301-640.
Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, Brother.
All
Akeem,
right.
Yes, welcome. Welcome, Brother Akeem. I was not quite sure.
Yes.
All right. Welcome, Brother Akeem. My dear beloved, the next voice you will hear is our dear beloved Brother Akeem. Brother Akeem, your line is open. God bless.
All right. Glad to be on. Thank you so much, and thank you for your prayers, Brother Rick, and glad to be back onto Advent Light. Let's just have a word of prayer as we head into the subject of the fourth seal. God bless us, give us wisdom and understanding, and forgive me of my sins, O Lord. Cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So the fourth seal, we covered the first two seals, one being Seal one, which is the first seal, the white horse, or the first horseman of the apocalypse, spanning from 31 AD to 100 AD. So the end of the to the end of the first century, that was the apostolic church, the church that rose up as a result of the day of Pentecost, filled with the power of God, going forth, having the bow of God's word, shooting the arrows of conviction into the hearts of men by the power of the Holy Spirit, going forth conquering and to conquer, wearing a crown, meaning that that church was standing upon the authority of the word. And the horse that symbolized the church was a white horse. We found out according to Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 3 that a horse in scripture is a symbol of God's people. So the rider on this horse, a rider riding a white horse with a bow and wearing a crown. It's very interesting as you go to Revelation chapter 19, you find Jesus as a rider on a white horse. At that time, friends, Revelation 19, of course, is a depiction of the second coming. But at the time of the first seal, it was a symbol of the New Testament church coming forth in purity, a symbol symbolized by the white, going forth under the leadership of men and women that were totally surrendered to God, and above all else, going forth under the leadership of Jesus Christ, the ultimate rider on the white horse. But ultimately, the rider on the horse symbolizes the leadership. We then found out that right after that, the second seal, the horse goes from white to red. And it's very interesting that when you look at the history of the church following the first century, at the turn of the first century, from 180 to 313 AD, the church went through a time of persecution where there was much bloodshed of the saints. But not only that, there was also corruption. Hence, the book of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 tells us, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made as white as wool. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be made as white as snow. And so as we look at this, friends, we're realizing that red is not only a symbol of bloodshed, but red is also a symbol of corruption, a symbol of sin, both of which were happening to the church from 180 to 313 AD until Constantine in 313 AD made Christianity a legal religion. And he united with the church leaders who were willing to unite with him, and thus began the foundation of what would ultimately become the papacy, where church leaders began to compromise, to unite with the pagan emperor in order that they might have power. And hence, in the black horse, we saw from 313 to 538 AD, what happened? That men began to become lovers of money within the church. The leadership, the rider on the black horse, these leaders within the churches, corrupted now, began to actually rely on the power of the state, receive power to actually execute civil penalties, because they were not only religious powers, but they were men who had civil authority as well. So the religious leaders of the church began to become civil leaders as well. Church and state began to be united in this new pagan Roman church, which would ultimately become, by the time we get to 538, it would become, that church system would become established as the ultimate system existing in Western Europe. And this is symbolized under the pale horse. It's very interesting to note that when you look at this horse, this is a church during the time when it was totally corrupt. Something to keep in mind is that this was now no longer the true church. By this time, there was a separation. As time went along, what we're seeing in the seven churches is God speaking to his true people throughout the ages, from the time of the apostles to the end of the world, Laodicea. But in the seven seals, we are seeing what we are seeing is, for the majority of the seals, the apostasy that crept into the church and ultimately divided the true, that's the seven churches, from the false. That's those who went into apostasy. Hence, Paul says, I know that after my departure, there will be men who will come in among you like wolves and lead many away from the truth. And so this began to happen after Paul's day. But the separation did not take place until during the black horse and the pale horse. when finally a mammoth system of deception, a church was set up in which there was the fullness of apostasy. And this church, even though it was the dominant church of the Dark Ages, it was not the true church. Rather, it was the result of complete apostasy from the true faith. But the true church, however, identified in the seven churches, was actually really hiding out in the wilderness. Along with that, you had people, of course, within the apostate church who were seeking to live according to the truth and ultimately came out of the apostate church. Men like Martin Luther and others, John Calvin, and many others, John Huss, Jerome. These men and the movements that began as a result of their efforts separated from the papacy, the dominant church at that time, that was not the true church. The true church was not only hiding in the wilderness, but it was those who were once part of the Catholic faith, but as a result of studying the scriptures, came out of that faith to continue to proclaim the truth. So by the time we get to the Pale Horse, what we're dealing with here is a history that goes forward from 538, and we're going to see it will bring us to the year 1517, just before the Protestant Reformation began, a time when the papacy was now established. A church represented as a pale horse was actually established. 538, the year was 538. Now, as we look at this, the word pale here, as you find it in the book of Revelation chapter 6, in reference to the pale horse, that word there, Uriah Smith actually comments on this in the book Daniel and Revelation, page 431. He says, the color of this horse is remarkable. The original word denotes the pale or yellowish color that is seen in a blighted or sickly plant. A strange state of things in the professed church must be denoted by this symbol. The rider on this horse is named Death and Hell, or Hades, that's the grave, followed with him. So we're actually going to read that. I'll read the statement to you all. This is found in Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 7. It says, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. Now, you see that? That's very interesting. It refers to the rider on the horse as them. It's very interesting. That tells us it's talking about not one individual, but the leadership, plural. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. So let's break that down. Pale, we found out, according to the Greek language, is green or yellowish. That which is seen in blighted or sickly plants. So this is the state of the church. The church is sick at this moment. And who is the rider? The rider that's riding on this church is Death. And what follows him? Hell. That is the grave. So this rider, the leadership of the church now, it's causing men to die. It's actually leading to a point where people are dying. And this should give us an understanding of where we are in history. Now, as you look, friends, this is interesting because these are aspects of history that will be repeated. But as you look at the rider on the pale horse, Taylor G. Bunch, the late Seventh-day Adventist Taylor G. Bunch, in his book, The Revelation, on page 42, he states, the language indicates that the leaders of the paganized church had so far departed from the gospel that made men ministers of life that they became the ministers of death under the control and leadership of Satan. The rider is death, and his mission is to kill. And Hades is pictured as following with him to gather in, as it were, the victims. Death cuts men down, and the grave gathers them in. So in other words, these, as was mentioned under the Black Horse, religious leaders began to have civil power. And so the church and state united. It began with Constantine, but now it had reached a higher level by the time you get to the Pale Horse. where you had ministers who had become civil judges. That happened in the Black Horse, and it got worse under the Pale Horse. And friends, we are told, according to Revelation chapter 13, that that time will come again, when just the power that the papacy had during the Dark Ages, where religious leaders had civil authority, that time will be repeated at the end of time. And how will it be repeated? It starts with the United States, but once it starts here, and this is the thing that many people don't understand, they're just thinking, oh, the papacy is just going to get the power of all of these civil leaders. It's not just going to happen like that. It is because of what is predicted in Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18, which starts here in the U.S. Once it starts here and the civil power of the U.S. being in the hands of the religious leaders of the evangelical churches, apostate Protestantism, once that civil power is in their hands, due to the vote of the people, this power, once it is in their hands, will then be handed over to another power that has common things in common with evangelical Protestant, apostate Protestantism in the United States. And what is that thing that evangelical Protestantism holds in common with this other power? It is Sunday sacredness and the immortality of the soul. And what is that other power that I'm referring to? It is none other than the papacy. How does the papacy receive civil power again? It starts when, according to Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18, the miracles and signs and wonders, and we'll read it just so you can see it. This is very amazing. Revelation 13, the second beast is what we're looking at here. Listen to what it says. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. We understand this to be the United States. But there's a specific power in the United States that shall usher us into the end times. It says in verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast, that is the papacy, before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, how does this happen? How does the United States get to a point where it exercises all the power of the first beast? Verse 13, it tells us how. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Do you see it? So friends, the miracles, signs and wonders is what will cause something else to take place. Now, you remember, once you read Revelation 13:13 about the fire falling from heaven, as we've covered many times before, this is where Revelation pulls from different stories in Scripture. The two stories that it's pulling from here, fire falling from heaven, not to destroy, but rather to draw people. The two stories is the story of Elijah, or the stories of Elijah, when he prayed and God sent fire down from heaven to consume his sacrifice. The result was a revival in Israel that was short-lived. And then you have the story of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God fell and the symbol that he was falling, was cloven tongues as a fire falling upon the heads of the apostles and the 120 in the upper room, which the apostles were a part of. And what happened that day? A massive revival took place that day. 3,000 won. A few chapters later, 5,000 won. These things were happening. So notice, fire falling from heaven, drawing people, is a symbol of revival. However, according to the Bible, the result of this sign and wonder of fire falling from heaven, along with other miracles, it draws people. But what does it draw them to? Verse 14. And deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. So you see it? So the result is that this is a false revival that we are looking at here, because it brings men to deception, not to truth. And so as a result, we are realizing that, whoa, we're not just looking at Christianity, and we're not just looking at the United States. We're looking at a revival that will take place in the United States. So in other words, where are we looking? We're looking at Christianity. In the United States of America, once miracles, signs, and wonders on a scale that we've never seen before take place, what will happen? It will draw the people to feel that a great religious awakening is happening. And then what will happen next? Verse 14 tells us, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the papacy, to the first beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. That's how we know we're talking about the papacy. So this is where we're realizing, whoa, okay, so Christianity in the United States is going to move upon the people, causing the people, that's why it says, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast. How did the beast rule during the Dark Ages? The way that it ruled and had power to execute its desires was that the church ruled the state. The church, the papacy, ruled over the kings and leaders and dukes and princes of Western Europe. And the result was they were able to execute their dogmas upon the people, upon penalty of death. Why? Because they ruled over the leaders, the civil leaders of Western Europe. In the same way now, the United States, Christianity filled with miracles, signs, and wonders, and having great, great influence, will move upon the people. So because what? Why is that necessary? Because up until that point, we will be living in the context, as we are now, in a democracy. And so it is only by the vote of the people that certain things can happen. And so once this takes place, an image will be formed as the people call for the church to guide the state. This is where it's going to happen first. Once that takes place, it said he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So you see, martyrdom happens again. And he calls it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Do you see it? So it is the false revival. Once the false revival happens in the churches, the religious leaders will then have power over the people, influencing them to call for a change in the Constitution. A change, why do I say that? Because the Constitution prohibits any religion from being the dominant religion within the United States. All right? And I want to read that to you in this moment. Let me see if I can get it to you here. All right. One second. This is what it says here. And you guys know it. This is the First Amendment of the Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Now, many agree agree with that statement when it comes to Hinduism or Islam. But we don't realize they're not the final threat, friends. This is why we can't choose sides when it comes to politics. Friends, the final bastion enemy of God's people will be Christianity, a counterfeit Christianity. In other words, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for what? Redress of grievances. So in other words, in order for Christianity to run the state, it has to mean that the First Amendment will be made null and void. And this is what we are told in the spirit of prophecy, actually. It's not just that the amendment will be made null and void. The entire Constitution, we are told, will be abrogated. That's what we're told is coming. So once this happens in the United States, what will it lead to? The church uniting with the state. That's the image of the beast. Once this then happens, what comes out of the image? The mark of the beast. But friends, what starts here will then spread to the world. For as you heard before, if the United States sneezes, when the United States sneezes, the whole world catches a cold. In other words, showing the influence of their superpower. So where will it spread to then? Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1. This is what it's coming to. So once it starts here, once the prototype is shown here, it will then spread from here to the rest of the world. For we read Revelation 17:1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, right? Waters meaning what? Peoples, multitudes, nations, tongues. How do we know that? Verse 15 of Revelation tells us, of Revelation 17 tells us, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the horse sitteth are peoples, multitudes, and nations, and tongues. So now we're going back to verse 1. Now, here's how the papacy, this woman, which is the papacy, by the way, in Revelation 17:1, this great whore, is enabled to sit upon the peoples, multitudes, and nations of the world. How is she able to do that? Two reveals. With whom the kings, that's the civil leaders, of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So do you see it? It will start here. Christianity filled with signs and wonders, apostate Christianity filled with signs and wonders, then gain power over the people in the United States. Those people then call for a change in the Constitution, in the First Amendment, and in other parts of the Constitution until the entire thing is abrogated. And what is the thing that they will call for? That the church will be able to run the state. By the way, in past years, you've heard political leaders saying that, by the way. Christian political leaders. But once this happens, what will then happen? By the vote of the people, the very constitution that once protected them, because they have pushed it aside and abrogated it, then what will happen, friends? What will take place is that church and state will unite. The image of the beast will be formed. Out of that image, what will then take place? The mark. For church will influence the state to pass the Sunday law, which is the connecting link between the churches in America and the Vatican itself. Now, once that happens, friends, then the rest of the world will follow. That's when the Sunday law will become globalized. That's when. But where does it start? It starts here. And many Adventists are beginning to forget that. They're thinking that this thing is just going to come out of the blue. No, friends, the Bible gives us a sequence of how these things will happen. It gives us the method in which this will happen. First, here in the U.S., with apostate radicalized Christianity, and then it will spread to the rest of the world until the papacy is able then to not only have the civil power and support of the United States, but then also able to have the support and the power of all the nations that will then follow and render its civil power, all the civil leaders rendering their civil authority unto the papacy, saying, whatever you desire for us to do to our people, that's the waters, we'll do it. That's how the papacy will be able to sit upon the multitudes, people's multitudes and nations, the waters of the earth. How? Because the civil leaders who rule over those peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, the kings of the earth, following in the footsteps of the United States, will render its civil authority to the papacy. And this is what happened. We have the prototype of this during the Dark Ages. That's what happened during the Dark Ages. But now, whereas in the Dark Ages it was just in Western Europe and spreading from there to other nations, at the end of time, it will be the entire world, the entire globe will experience what was experienced in the Dark Ages, to the point that what will happen is what Jesus stated in the book of John chapter 16 and verse 2 will once again take place in our day. He states there, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever kills you will think that he doeth God a service. This is how we know that atheism and the LGBTQ community are not the final threat, friends. Secularism is not the final threat. Notice what Jesus says, that whosoever killeth you will think that he does God service. That means the final threat will be of a religious nature. It will be a counterfeit Christianity. In the days of the apostles, it was not Rome that was Jesus' threat. It was who? It was the religious leaders, we are told in Desire of Ages, that coerced Pilate, threatening to take their petition to Caesar if he did not obey them, that coerced Pilate into crucifying Jesus. In the same way, who was the threat to the apostles? Friends, you read throughout the Gospels, you read throughout the book of Acts, and you find out that the greatest threat to the apostles, though, yes, at times they faced animosity from pagans and heathens, their greatest threat was the Jews themselves. The people from which they had come were their greatest threat. And so in the end time, the greatest threat to Christianity, true Christianity, will be a counterfeit Christianity, friends. This is where our eyes must be focused. Am I saying that at times the LGBTQ community may not pose a threat if they are hostile? Friends, yes, they may definitely pose a threat, but we can categorize all of them into that group. There are many friends who, while wanting to practice their own lifestyle, are not a threat to Christianity. There are those, however, who say, you know what, I don't only just want to practice this lifestyle, but I want to force others to believe the same way. Yes, that's something to look out for, but it's not the final threat. The final threat will be people coming to us seeking to take our lives, thinking that they're doing Jehovah a service. What we're looking at here is counterfeit Christianity, and this is what existed during the Dark Ages. This is the time of the pale horse, from the establishment of the papacy in 538 onward. Now notice it states concerning the fourth horseman, the pale horse, it states that the leaders, the papacy, had power over the fourth part of the earth. Uriah Smith comments on this in Daniel and Revelation, page 432. He says, power was given unto them, that is him, the rider on the fourth horse, says the margin, that is the power personified by death on the pale horse, namely the papacy. By the fourth part of the earth is doubtless meant the territory over which this power had jurisdiction. And by the way, friends, the papacy had power over the majority. That's why it says the fourth part, because it was a great portion of the then-known world that the papacy had power over. Hence, it is represented under the fourth part of the earth. A quarter of the entire world belonged to this system. And how long? What time period are we looking at here? From 538 to 1517, the time when the Reformation was about to begin. In the next part, we'll see under the fifth seal that this power of the papacy continues. But now we're just starting off with the time of the papacy supremacy, a time which will be repeated at the end of time. But we are seeing it. We have to know our past in order to understand how this will come about in the future. So we'll end here. But this took place. Remember the time period, 538 to 1517. Some books that I recommend to you, please, friends, get these books and study them. I recommended them last time, God Cares, Volumes 1 and 2, covering Daniel and Revelation, by C. Mervyn Maxwell. You also can find what is coming and what took place during the Dark Ages in the powerful book of The Great Controversy. Many people want to skip and want to run to the end of the Great Controversy. And sometimes, and friends, for sure, there is room for that. Friends, if you really want to understand how this thing is going to go down, don't only read the last few chapters, but read the entire book, because it shows us the aspects of what took place during the Dark Ages. This is vital, friends, so we can understand some of the things that are coming. Another book is Daniel and Revelation, written by Uriah Smith. And then another is Evidence from Scripture and History of the Second Coming of Christ, written by William Miller, the book Evidence. These five books, along with many others that I've mentioned and quoted from, friends, I implore you to get these books. Many people want to critique those things that were laid down in our church's history, not realizing they were laid down for us. And it is only as we read them, study them, that we can finally say, okay, these things, okay, this part needs tweaking. This part God has revealed more light on. But you got people who don't even understand the system of how Revelation and Daniel works, the prophecies and how to understand them. But yet they want to make new interpretations. They haven't even understood that which has already been laid down. friends I am, this is why I implored even the congregation that I was at. I said, get one of these books, read it, study it, and then critically analyze and make suggestions and tweaks. But if you're not even reading or understanding the systems of how the prophecies are to be unlocked, friends, come up with interpretations that make no sense. We'll come up with interpretations that don't even add up. And the reason I'm imploring us to do this is because there are times coming when we are told we will stand before governors and princes and many people. And if we don't understand what we believe, if what we understand is based on conspiracies and things that we don't really know, friends, we will be eaten up and spat out. We'll be chewed up. We'll be broken to pieces by some of the arguments that these people will bring against us. But if we can understand the systems of how these books are to be unlocked and history itself, we will stand with power and in wisdom. And the Holy Spirit will be able to bring to remembrance that which we have studied. Hence, I implore us that before we get to the point of critiquing, to study. Yes, even Uriah Smith had things that were off. Yes, William Miller also. Yes, even Seymour and Maxwell. The reason that Ellen White recommended even Uriah Smith's books, knowing some of the things that he mentioned, was because on the greater whole of that which he had written in Daniel and Revelation, it was on point. There were aspects that were not, but the majority was. Hence, she said, these books should be canvassed. May we read and then seek to critique. This is what I implore each and every one of us to do here today, friends, as we close out in prayer. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds. Continue to help us as we study your word. Guide us. And I pray that we will be able to stand, understand your word, and stand in the last day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Hon Akin, for presenting this timely revelation to us. It's a lot, my dear beloved, on this line. And my prayer while I was here, you know, tenderly listening, you know, there will be the counterfeit and there will be the real. Right? And I am saying, Brother Akin, asking you, Sister Powers is asking you, this message should be going out as various churches as Bible study, you know. When our brothers and sisters in our churches and we are not hearing or studying this message, this is a question, Brother Kumeh, right? What is going to happen, you know? That counterfeit is going to come up on even those who are saying that they are faithful, right? So we are asking and praying. So this message will reach to all the churches around, especially the churches, the remnant churches, you know, so that the individual will understand. Can you answer how are we going to, you know, prayer? We know nothing can happen without prayer. But how is it going to reach all the conference churches, brother, my dear beloved? Brother Akin, I just asked a question. I don't know if you can understand. If you can hear or you understand.
Okay. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay, awesome. Okay. No, well, your question was, how is this going to reach all the churches, right?
Yeah.
Yes. One of the things that I would say, and this is one of the things that I was, this may also be the answer to the part that I was saying at the end. It's the idea that it now becomes the onus of the lay members, and there are leaders actually within our general conference that understand these things and they're teaching these things. One of the reasons that I know this is because I'm in these churches as well, and I'm seeing that there are people who are studying But I would say that the onus is also upon the layman to study the Word of God and to begin starting ministries in which they can spread these messages. Because ultimately, it is as each member of the church takes up the task of studying the Word and disseminating it to every sphere of influence that is within their reach, that it will begin to reach farther and farther. Who knows? You or myself or others may give it to one person, and that person may be so influential that they may spread it to 1,000. This is what happened with Jesus, with the woman at the well. Hence, we are told an inspiration to never despise the one soul audience. Jesus had that one woman at that well. He taught her the truth, and she went forth into an entire community and spread the message. Many times it was not necessarily because of Jesus publicizing anything, not that I'm against that, or marketing, not that I'm against that, but many times it wasn't necessarily because Jesus marketed anything that the message spread. It was because of the very people that he healed and ministered to. These people went abroad and spread the message everywhere. Hence, by the time Jesus entered into cities, multitudes were around him already. And so our work is to equip ourselves, as you said, pray, ask God for opportunities, whether it be to one or to 1,000. And give, if it's one, to give that message to that one as though we are speaking to 1,000, knowing that it will spread. The promise is that it will go to the world. We, our work, is only to be faithful.
All right. Thank you, Brother Akin. And I just want to say on this line, I just want to thank Brother Akin and this group. I am telling you, we are coming from far, very far. And I just want to let you know, Brother Akin, you know, all those groups that we have met and the message have been going on, we learn a lot, but still there is more for us. And as we mentioned, as you mentioned a while ago, study to show ourselves approved through the Holy Spirit. God will able, and he is able to allow us to carry this message to the four corners of the world, even with our one and one ministry. So I just want to thank you again for coming on and sharing. And looking forward to meet you at Louisiana soon.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if anyone else would like have a comment or a query to ask Brother Akin. We can give you just a 1 minute, teacher's minute. You can just put up your hand and just a teacher's minute. And what we started to Brother Akin, you can put up your hand, and then if there is no one, you can close. Okay, I promised Brother Eli was to allow him to sing at the end, so I will do it now for the end and the closing song. 8575, a comment or the song. Brother Eli, for closing.
Okay. Okay, Sister Power, I would like to thank Brother Akin for preaching the word, Sister Power. He learned about the fruit of the Spirit, Sister Power, because it's love, kindness, self-control. And Sister Power, my question is, I want to ask Pastor Akin James, how come some people are not being kind and being loving? Because people are my job, because people at my job, just like Sister Power say, like, people at my job is not showing me, you know, love, the love of they're not showing me, how you say that, Sister Power, the fruit of the Spirit, they're not showing, like, the fruit of the Spirit, and I need love and kindness, I need love, Sister Power, I need the love, and Sister Power, I want to receive it. Tell whether Akin, I want to receive it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, I will just open to Akin. Brother Akim. Brother
okay,
Akim.
Okay, yeah.
Your line
yes.
is open.
Okay. No, no, yes. I'll definitely just say to Brother Eli that, you know, it's just one of the reasons that many times we don't show or people don't show the love of God. It goes back to what you said, love and kindness toward other people. It goes back to what you mentioned, actually, in passing, is not having the Spirit. The Spirit of God gives the fruit, which
mm-hmm.
contains all of this. Traits that you just mentioned, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, peace, all of these things is in one fruit, and only the Spirit gives it. And so if you don't possess, if a person doesn't possess that, doesn't possess the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit is not possessing them, let me say it that way, then they cannot reveal that kind of kindness or patience or long-suffering. And so what I would say is to pray for that, yourself, ask God, help me to be kind even to them who are not kind to me. That doesn't mean that you don't set boundaries so that they don't pass those boundaries. And if it is that you take the proper action to report that, whether it be to your supervisor or whoever, the same time, pray for them. Pray for them and ask God, Lord, help me to show forth the fruit of the Spirit. And I pray that you will move upon their lives, that they might be impacted by that witness, so that they can receive your Spirit as well, and that the very work environment that we are in can be a manifestation of the love of God. But it may have to start with you. And so I'll be praying for you in that environment so that those
Amen.
Things will take place.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Akin, for your sharing and also answering our question and to be with us. And thank my brothers and sisters here tonight who join us. And just remember, my dear beloved, remember to study the word. Remember to bear the fruit of the Spirit, to be kind to all those who despisefully use you. The Lord wants you to be kind. So we just want to thank you all for joining. And now we will close with another word of prayer. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in Jesus Christ, O Lord, our Savior. Amen, amen. Good night, Dave. Brother and sister, have a good night. And now we will close with a special lead, all of us to Calvary. Thank you.